For us to understand God's purposes with marital intimacy, Dr. Phil Reichen says we need to first understand what he calls the beauty of the why.
God's design is for lifelong love relationships, which are bound together in covenant promises, to be sealed and secured with sexual intimacy. This is part of God's design. These are the most sacred vows that you can take to another human being. And it makes sense then that God would want these, something to secure and seal these. But if you seal the wrong relationship or seal the right relationship at the wrong time, that design is disrupted. And what was really intended to actually bring greater security to a relationship actually now brings greater threat to it.
This is Family Life Today. Our hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. There is great beauty in God's design for marital intimacy, and it's all built around the idea of the covenant. We'll spend time talking about that today with Dr. Phil Reichen. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us on the Tuesday edition. Right out of the box, I want to remind Family Life Today listeners, before we get into what we're going to talk about today, we have something special going on here at Family Life this week and next week. If you want to sign up for one of our upcoming Weekend to Remember Marriage getaways, we're going to be hosting about 36 of these events this fall in cities all across the country. You sign up this week or next week, you save 50% off the regular registration fee. So here's your opportunity to have a weekend away together, focusing on one another, learning more about God's design for marriage, and you can save some money if you sign up now. Go to familylifetoday.com for more information about the getaway. Find out when it's going to be in a city near where you live. Make plans to attend and register this week or next week to save 50% off the regular registration fee. You can register online at familylifetoday.com. Or you can call 1-800-FL-TODAY to register for one of these upcoming events. Again, our website is familylifetoday.com or call 1-800-358-6329. That's 1-800-F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. And we hope to see you at a Weekend to Remember Marriage getaway. I'm just curious with what we're going to be talking about today, Dave. Have you ever done a sermon series at your church in 30 years of pastoral ministry on the Song of Solomon?
No.
Will you?
Yes. I have a book that I
now
can
now that we have
reference.
This book, we'll do it.
I mean, honestly, we've talked often about marriage, often about sexual intimacy, you know, from a God perspective, and referenced different parts of the
right.
Song of Solomon, have never walked through it like this book.
Dr. Philip Reichen does, who joins us again on Family Life Today. Welcome back.
Great to be with you.
Phil Reichen is the president of Wheaton College in Wheaton, Illinois, and almost a decade now of service there,
yes.
Right? And that's home for you?
Yeah, so I grew up, my family moved to Wheaton when I was 1 year old, and my dad took a teaching post in the English department there, grew up there, went to college there, and came back in 2010 to serve as president.
So it was a great homecoming. It was exciting to come back to
where
you grew up.
Yeah, it was. Now, I had been on the Board of Visitors and Board of Trustees at the college for over a decade, so I'd been coming back to Wheaton regularly to engage with what was going on at the college. And, you know, there's nothing like coming home to your home community.
Your new book, The Love of Loves in the Song of Songs, about the Song of Solomon, you told us this comes from a series of chapel messages you did, and I'm just wondering— You're talking to college kids?
Yeah.
About the Song of Solomon?
So, you know, I do different things in chapel each year. I preach about once a month, so this was right-sized for me. Interesting, my daughter was a sophomore at Wheaton that year.
Oh, that's interesting.
She had a freshman on her floor who I don't think knew who she was yet say, is it just me or is this really embarrassing that Dr. Reichen is— you know, talking about the Song of Solomon in chapel, and she said, you think it's embarrassing for you. So the other thing my daughter's always, like, chides me for a little bit is I'm very careful. If I'm going to say something specific about something in our family, I get permission from family members before going public with it. So what I sometimes did, and she told me I had to stop doing it, when I was at Wheaton, you know, speaking in chapel at Wheaton, I'd say, you know, one of my children— and she said, Dad, you got to stop doing that. They all assume it's me when you say that. So you got to figure out a different way to do that.
So tackling this with college students.
Yeah. Oh, they need it. So, you know, college students are thinking a lot about love, sex, romance, marriage, just all of these topics. And they're also thinking about how do I grow a love relationship with Jesus mm-hmm. Christ? What does that look like? So this book in so many ways, you know, is touching the bases.
So when you get into the passages about picnics in the Song of Solomon and you've got a room full of college students.
So one of the things we did was I asked our theater group if they could present the Song of Solomon dramatically each passage before I would speak on it.
Wow.
So there were four students, two men and two women. Mark Lewis, who's the director, did something really smart at the beginning. He said, given the content of this book, I don't want to put one person in one role. So they're kind of associated with that. It wasn't presented as a kind of drama. It was presented dramatically by these four students. They wore very simple, almost rustic clothing. One of them always brought a guitar, and some of the lyrics they actually did as songs that they composed themselves, particularly where it's like the Daughters of Jerusalem, or there's kind of a chorusy refrain that's part of Song of Solomon. And it just made the whole thing come alive. You realize, oh, this is a love song. That's what this is. This is poetic. I can see the story. And I remember one particular day, there's a conflict that comes up in the middle of the book, and one of the men spoke his last line. And he walked off the stage and just walked right out of chapel. And you just knew this relationship is broken. Mm-hmm. And so the whole thing came alive. And then when you teach after that, people have seen it, they've felt it, they're into it. It just turned out to be a great experience.
There you go, a little pro tip for when you teach through this.
I was going to say, Dave, could you guys just come and do that at our church?
Why not?
Probably.
Yeah
we
Why
probably
not?
Could. I mean, those students have graduated now, and I think there may actually be video content. You may be able to find this on YouTube or something like that and
we'll find
put
it.
The pieces together. And it was really very compelling.
And the guy I co-pastor with is a Wheaton grad.
Oh, that's so, right.
Yeah,
oh,
Steve Andrews.
I'm sure he thinks he could probably do the drama himself, but that's not going to happen.
I love that you tackled this because in our culture, what college students are exposed to, it's great that you're giving them a biblical view of God's love for us, of a marriage relationship, and relationships in general. Way to go.
Thank you. And here's what I think, and that is a lot of our students on Christ-centered campuses like Wheaton College or Christian students that are at secular institutions, they know at least some of the do's and don'ts that the Bible talks about. I mean, I was talking to my kids this week. We've got five children. Four of them are still at home. Our junior high daughter had a concussion. She missed the sexuality and relationships section.
At school.
Mm-hmm. At Christian school. And her older sister just said, it basically don't have sex before marriage. That's it. Once you got that, that's what it is. Well, I'm sure it was actually much more comprehensive, nuanced, complete. But that's an example. They know or they think they know the biblical do's and don'ts. What they don't know is the beauty of the why. Mm-hmm. The beauty of God's design for our relationships. And if you don't understand and have not sensed and experienced the beauty of the why, then when the culture is telling you that the do's and don'ts are in the wrong place, you don't really have a defense for it. It's just a rule. It's not something you've understood in a deep way. And I don't know any better place to understand the beauty of the why of human relationships and our soul's relationship to God than the Song of Solomon.
Well, you got to go there. Now that you've mentioned that, it's in your book, Song of Solomon 2:7. Do not stir up or awaken love until it pleases. What's the beauty of the why? Why not?
That's an interesting refrain because it comes up several times in the book. And there's so much to say, but it comes up in a beautiful way. It's one thing, for example, to have your dad tell you this is where the boundary line is. It's very different if there is a young, beautiful woman who's obviously caught up in the passion of romance, and she's the one telling you, do not awaken desire before it's time. It's a repeated warning or caution in the book, and that's the biblical way of putting exclamation marks on something. Mm. You know, there aren't any, we don't have exclamation marks in Hebrew and Greek. We have repetition.
Yep.
So repetition really stresses that for us. What's the beauty of the why? Well, partly it is God's design is for lifelong love relationships, which are bound together in covenant promises, to be sealed and secured with sexual intimacy. This is part of God's design. These are the most sacred vows that you can take to another human being. And it makes sense then that God would want these, something to secure and seal these. But if you seal the wrong relationship or seal the right relationship at the wrong time, that design is disrupted. And what was really intended to actually bring greater security to a relationship actually now brings greater threat to it. Mm. One of the things I love about the way the Song of Solomon develops this is this woman that gives these cautions, this woman who is deeply in love with a man, that's been true from the opening verse, this whole thing is headed towards marriage. She is not saying, hey, don't go there, like intimate relationships are bad or you shouldn't have passion or sex is like some kind of bad thing. The whole book is showing you she's heading in this direction in this relationship. She just wants to make sure that it has the proper safeguards and boundaries around it so that it can flourish. And that makes a big difference.
Yeah.
As we think about this book and the romantic love that it pictures, does it concern you that the average age for young men getting married today is 29 and for women it's 27 and a half?
Well, as somebody that got engaged when I was 18, I guess. maybe I was 19. I mean, we married very young. Our parents did as well. Yeah, it concerns me for a lot of reasons. I think we definitely live in a deferred commitment culture. People want to keep their options open. We have a lot of students into our home for this or that, a lot of things that we do with students on the campus of Wheaton College. And I rarely do anything where I've got to have an RSVP. I got to know exactly how many people are coming. I just plan everything. It's very open-ended. Hey, come if you can. Bring a friend if you want. If you got to leave early, it's fine. I mean, it's just that kind of culture where people, even on small commitments, have trouble like making a commitment, following through because something better might come along. And, you know, let alone the important sacred vows that you make in marriage. So it does concern me. I think it's deferred commitment. I think it delays some of the purposes that God has for us in relationships. I also think it opens the door to sexual temptation in ways that are damaging for our culture. All of that said, some people are called to marriage much later in life. That's a beautiful thing. I mean, I have a good personal friend who married for the first time at age 70, and it was awesome. It's not about this age or that age, but I think when you see it as a culture and you don't see people making that commitment, it's concerning to me for several reasons. I don't know. I mean, Ann and Dave are in pastoral ministry. You know, they've got a front row seat for this too.
Sometimes it is right for a couple to wait, but there's a fear. That's really real out there. People are afraid to marry because they've grown up in a divorce culture and they're just waiting and waiting. I think a lot of them don't ever want to get married.
I think, too, that's why we were married young. I was 19, Dave was 22. But what we're passionate about is equipping couples before they come into marriage to have some tools that they can pull from, to have this relationship with God of knowing how He comes in and centers us and gives us real hope and proper expectations.
I tell any couple that's in any kind of relationship at all, you need to have a mentor. That's like one of the first questions. Who's your mentor? Who's walking through this relationship with you? And when you have somebody in your life like that, that can show you some of the how and can say to you, you know what, by God's grace, you can do this. It doesn't matter what your family background is, by God's grace, you can do this. And people need that kind of hope and encouragement.
All of our kids were married before they were 25. And I hear the argument in the culture today that says they're not ready. They're, mm-hmm. You're not mature. The frontal cortex is not fully formed yet, or they don't have the maturity to do this. And I go, we are selling young people way short when we say you're not ready at 21 to be able to make a bond and a commitment and live that out?
I hear people on cerebral cortex because I've got a couple young men that I've raised in our household. And, you know, it's a process. It's a process. But and I would never want to rush somebody into marriage that they're not ready for. But I think when you make a marriage decision, you're definitely not making a decision about who measures up to your standards or who's good enough for you, which is subtly the way a lot of people think, maybe particularly men. You're actually making a decision about who you will become. You have to be able to look another person in the eye and say, by God's grace, I can make a commitment to you. And I believe that what will happen in our lives as a result of this commitment goes far beyond anything that we could experience. And, you know, those are the kinds of things to be thinking about as you're approaching the possibility of marriage.
You share a story in your book about a couple on a honeymoon. that went through a real tragedy.
Who would this couple be? And what have you been doing reading my book?
You wrote it, so let's hear about it.
Anne's talking about an experience that Lisa and I had on our honeymoon. And, you know, different pastors have different approaches to things. I don't do that much self-disclosure from the pulpit. But when I do it, it's because I know that it is really going to help people understand the Bible and really apply it. So one of the stories I shared here is just about an argument we had on our honeymoon. I don't remember what the argument was about. Lisa may. I almost never remember what our arguments are about, which is kind of a signal that they really wasn't all that important.
You're not paying
attention, maybe. Well, maybe. It really wasn't all that important, but I think it's also a sign, hey, it was resolved. Like, you don't need to think about things that are resolved. You're not holding on to them. You're letting them go. But I use that illustration because you get to the middle of the Song of Songs. Everything seems to be going along great. You know, this couple, they're in love. They are speaking to one another words of affection. They are noticing the attributes of one another that are admirable. There's a beautiful reciprocity here. There's a symmetry to the relationship, and you see as much of the strength of the woman and the beauty of the man. You see all of that in this relationship. And obviously, they're married because there's been a procession, a wedding procession. There has been the exchange of vows, and now the language is, this is my sister, this is my bride. So obviously we're in a different context. It's not courtship, it's marriage. And then, shockingly, things break down. There's a breach in their intimacy. She closes the door on him. By the time she opens the door, he's gone and doesn't want to come in. So, you know, that's real life there. And I think for all of its, and this is one of the reasons to really get into the details of the Song of Solomon, because for all of the beauty there and all of the romance, there's also a lot of reality in some of the struggles of life.
Yeah.
I think it happens to all of us in our relationships. And maybe, you know, maybe that's a good word for somebody listening today.
So,
you know,
hang on. All you're going to tell us is we had a fight on our honeymoon and I don't remember what it was about?
Anne didn't actually ask me a question. She just, like, referred to it.
So
it was open.
Details of what happened on the honeymoon.
There was a condo in Vail, Colorado.
There was, yes.
Let's hear about it.
Actually, it was such a great honeymoon experience. People were generous with us and gave us a place to enjoy. Lisa tried to kill me on our honeymoon, actually. That's not in the book, but we went on a hike up a very dangerous place, and I'm like, this really does not seem that safe, and I'm kind of scared of heights. And we made it up this place. When we came back down, I noticed, actually, that wasn't the path. The path is over here. And there were other people there kind of looking over the edge, and they're like, you came up that? And I'm like, yeah, we did. Anyway, but we had a great experience on our honeymoon in all kinds of ways, and, you know, a lot of special memories there. So we had this argument. I stormed out. And as I was dealing with that with the Lord and walking through that with him kind of out in the parking lot out nearby, I just made a commitment, you know, if there's an issue, we're going to work it out. And, you know, I need to go back in there. We need to work this through, which we did. But that was really what kind of came out of that experience for me is, you know, that kind of commitment. And I don't know if I talk about it in the book or not. One thing that's been key for us as a couple, we just take, you know, what Paul says in Ephesians very literally, don't let the sun go down on your anger. So, like, if you can work out today what comes up today, you've got a fresh slate tomorrow, and, you know, you're able to go on in life. And so we've tried to operate, you know, with short accounts that way. Just,
it's,
you know,
just a good reminder that even on the honeymoon, things can go wrong. Throughout life, that can happen and will happen. And that doesn't mean you've married the wrong person, and it doesn't mean that your marriage will be wrecked, but that is part of the normalcy of marriage.
For sure it doesn't. And, you know, one thing that'd be interesting to ask at, you know, a marriage conference or retreat or something, like, how many people here, like, had an argument on their honeymoon?
We've done that.
Yeah, I bet it's a lot of hands.
So many hands.
I mean, what I say when I'm doing pre-marriage preparation with a couple, working with them on their relationship, one of the things I like to ask is, like, tell me what your experience is of conflict and argument, and how have you worked that through? And it really worries me if I hear, oh, we don't have any arguments. Okay, well, we really don't know that much about this relationship yet. And what I like to see is conflicts that actually are worked through in a way that builds up the relationship. And if you've got that, I mean, so many other things are going to fall into place as well.
Let me ask you this. So you said after that honeymoon fight, you're never going to walk out again. You're going to go back. Has that been true?
Yeah, I think it has been. The number of times when we really have a conflict now compared to when we were, you know, first in a relationship, I mean, it's just so different. It's just so different as time goes on. Partly, I think, over time, you're just less self-centered. You know, there's just a lot of things that you're able to work out. But, yeah, I mean, we work things out. We work things out if we've got a thing to work out.
Yeah, my wife's the kind, when I walk out, she just follows me. She's right behind me saying, come back here and fight like a man. Literally what she said.
What about personal space? And...
I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
No.
So as a reader is reading through the Song of Solomon, somebody in their regular Bible study, they get to this book, they open it up. They really do need some kind of a guide to take them through this rather than just trying to read it cold, don't they?
You know, I would say yes. On the one hand, the main themes of Scripture are so clear that any person who is diligent just in reading the Bible again, you know, I think of my grandparents were only educated up through the eighth grade. They were profound readers and students of the Bible. There weren't many topics about any area of life that my grandparents could not give, you know, rich biblical wisdom to. So I don't like to oversell, you know, the use of tools and things, but boy, it's such a help when you're reading any book of the Bible to have some tools that say, hey, here's something to notice, like look at this, and then you can see that it's actually there. And I think the more difficult a book is, you know, maybe the more helpful the tools are. Song of Solomon's written in poetry, so that doesn't always come naturally to people. You need to, and by the way, 40% of the Bible is written in poetry. So if you want to be a student of the Bible, you're going to need to learn how to read poetry and think about poetry. You really got to slow down. You've got to take in the images. It touches a different part of your brain.
You need to read reading the Bible as literature,
yes,
right?
Yes, reading the Bible as literature, which my father taught me to do. So I think it is helpful to have those tools. And since I want to come back to our listeners, Bob, because you tried to distract me with my own troubles. I just wanted to say, people that are listening that are in a place where they're in a broken relationship, God has grace for you.
Yeah.
God has mercy for you. Now, if you're in a broken relationship, it takes more than one person to bring healing and reconciliation to that relationship. But God can bring grace and healing and reconciliation in his relationship with you in the context of that broken relationship. Mm-hmm. And as you walk with him in forgiveness and repentance, you're going to see the Holy Spirit do amazing things.
Well, and you don't know this because you haven't had a chance yet to read Dave and Ann's book, Vertical Marriage, but the thesis of that book is if there's something wrong in the horizontal relationship, we can trace that to there being something wrong.
Yeah, look at Bob. I like how you're in the vertical. Promoting our book there. Good. No, I will say this about your book. I really think this is such a helpful book because it's the journey of a couple. I mean, you're just walking us through the Song of Songs, but I'm thinking of pre-married couples and married couples, yeah, and parents with their kids. It's like you want a book that'll help you walk through what does a love relationship look like all the way through marriage and conflict. And how is that similar to our walk with God? That's why I loved your book.
Mm-hmm.
It
Thank
does
you.
Both concurrently together. You can't miss both. They're tied together, and you did such a good job with it. I would highly recommend it for anybody to read. You want to know what it looks like from beginning toward the end? Here it is.
You want to do a deep dive into these eight chapters in the Bible?
Mm.
This will help you do that deep dive. And I'll tell you, it's a great deep dive to
yeah.
do because you can read the Song of Solomon and 20 minutes and you're done, and you'll read it and God will speak to you through reading it, but you'll scratch your head on some stuff and go, how do I understand? What's that mean? What's going on here? This book will help answer a lot of those questions. And it's a book we've got in our Family Life Today Resource Center. You can order it from us online at familylifetoday.com or call 1-800-FL-TODAY to order a copy. Again, the book is called The Love of Loves in the Song of Songs by Dr. Phil Ryken. Go to familylifetoday.com to order your copy or call 1-800-358-6329. 1-800-F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. And then don't forget, while you're on our website or when you get in touch with us, find out about a Weekend to Remember Marriage getaway that is coming near where you live this fall. Block out the weekend and register this week or next week so that the two of you can get some time away together, focus on your marriage, understand better what God's Word has to say about your marriage, and strengthen your relationship. The Weekend to Remember is all about helping couples draw closer together to move from isolation to intimacy. That's our goal. And for the last 40-plus years, we've had millions of couples who have attended one of these getaways and found help and hope for their marriage. Again, if you register this week or next week, you save 50% off the regular registration fee as a couple, and that's available to Family Life Today listeners. You can go online at familylifetoday.com to take advantage of that special offer and to get more information about the getaway, or call 1-800-FL-TODAY. We can answer any questions you have over the phone or get you registered by phone. Again, that's 1-800-358-6329, 1-800-F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. And we hope to see you this fall at a Weekend to Remember marriage getaway. Now, tomorrow we're going to continue talking with Dr. Phil Ryken about this wonderful book in the middle of our Bibles, the book of the Song of Songs, and how we can better understand what God is teaching us through his word. I hope you can join us back for that. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a CREW ministry. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.